Hello and welcome to Charlie the Monkey King with myself, Priva, and my friend MJ. I'm not sure if MJ, if you said hello as normal. I didn't actually hear you.
I just got welcome to.
Okay, MJ and I are having some network issues, so I apologize.
I am in the wilds. I'm in the wilds of South Kilkenny, pure wilderness. Actually, it's 5 minutes away from a city, but people in Dublin, where I live, regard it as the wilderness. So, but for the purpose of internet, this is Badlands.
Yeah, you are in rural Ireland, regardless of how close it actually is to a city. The city just kind of cuts off immediately, and there's no kind of infrastructural influence outside of it
that would get you good. People give zero fucks about this place. So
yeah.
We have a Patreon now.
Yes.
We've grown. We've gone from baby podcast to adult podcast. And we also have people gently nagging us in the most wonderful way for t-shirts, which is kind of cool. Yes.
Yeah. And if you subscribe to the Patreon, you'll get episodes as soon as they're finished. And there is a tier for a bonus episode where we recorded an audio commentary track for the first episode of BBC's Monkey.
It was recorded by the English in the 70s, and you can tell. So we have some fun with that.
But for what we have today, we're on to chapter 41 of the story, and there's nothing particularly awful happens in terms of warnings for this. There's some monster fighting. There's some fire involved. It's some good monster fighting fun.
Can you promise me that we are done with child murder?
I'll say again, my memory is very bad. I definitely don't remember any other instances of child murder.
Your memory is bad enough to forget child murder. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. That's not fine. But anyway, it's fine for the purposes of this recording today. So
in my defense, the first time I read this book, I did have an undiagnosed sleeping disorder.
That's true and very important.
that's just my excuse for everything now. Anyway, we left off Sun Wukong convinced that he could talk the monster Red Boy into letting his boss Tripitaka go, because he and Red Boy's dad, the Bull Demon King, used to basically be brothers. Like, you know, not literally brothers, but they were in a brotherhood, so to speak. And Sun Wukong and Zhubaji are going to go talk to him while Shabu Jing stays behind with the horse and luggage. And despite his plan to appeal to family bonds, Wukong introduces himself in the normal manner by threatening to kill all the guards unless they let him in.
I mean, if they were that close, also family of choice, important. If they were that close, he's going to know who that is.
Well, I think Red Boy probably wasn't born when Wukong got trapped under the mountain.
Yeah, that was kind of after. I mean, he did kind of abandon them to go and be the stable boy in heaven.
It's true. But Red Boy just sees this as a normal attack, and he has a plan prepared for attackers, and he orders 5 small carts pushed outside and set up in formation outside the cave. And Red Boy himself heads out armed with his 18-foot fire-tipped lance, which seems excessively large to me.
Well, consider the rod.
Yeah, true. That's 20 feet. And Wukong is 4 foot tall, which is absurd.
Yeah.
And he's wearing only a silk battle kilt. I am not sure what a battle kilt is.
It sounds like a kilt that you wear into battle.
That would probably be true.
Yeah.
Wukong calls him my worthy nephew and demands Tripitaka be released. And he says that Red Boy should stop behaving like a child before his dad has to hear about this.
My father will hear about this. I don't think my father, the inventor of the battle kilt.
Red Boy has absolutely no idea who the fuck Wukong is. He's heard of Wukong as this pilgrim who's going with Tripitaka, who he plans to eat, but he does not have a clue about Wukong, the Monkey King, who knew his dad. And he gets pissed off and he asks Wukong what the fuck he's talking about.
So sad when people grow apart.
Yeah. Wukong explains his history and he goes through his old brotherhood. There was the Bull Monster King, the Great Sage, parallel with heaven. The Dragon Monster King, the Great Sage, covering the ocean. The Garuda Monster King, the Great Sage, united with heaven. The Lion Monster King, the Great Sage, mover of mountains. A female Monkey King called the Fair Wind Great Sage.
Okay.
A Giant Ape Monster King, the God Routing Great Sage. And of course, Old Monkey himself, the Great Sage, equal to heaven.
Okay. I'm guessing you're not special is not the best way to reach Wukong here.
Oh, no, sorry. This is Wukong explaining this.
Ah, okay.
He's listing out all like his old friends that were all part of this. He and the Bull Monster King were all part of this group of seven.
I missed that bit too.
Yeah.
I missed that bit due to gremlins.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Internet gremlins are bad.
Yes.
So this is slightly different from the first time we heard this list. And I will forgive you for forgetting it, seeing as this was like almost 40 chapters ago and God knows how long ago that we recorded that. The first time we heard this list, the Lion Monster King was called the Giant Lynx King. And the Giant Ape Monster King was the Orangutan King.
Ah.
There's one bigger change. Originally, the original list had the Macaque King, who was called the Telltale Great Sage, who is now listed as the female Monkey King, the Fair Wind Great Sage. So I am just going to say that...
Do we have another trans icon on our hands?
The Fair Wind Great Sage trans icon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, can't hold a candle to Guan Yin, obviously.
Yeah, we stan a trans female Monkey King.
Yeah. We stand a terrifying trans queen and a trans female Monkey King. Hyper murder monkey, maybe? We don't know.
I don't think we're ever going to meet her. I don't think she pops up again outside of like the mentions in this list of people.
I mean, I don't think we can really come for this Ming Dynasty Chinese novel for poor representation. Your man, the civil servant, is cancelled.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wu Cheng'en, why didn't you include more trans representation? Anyway, Red Boy doesn't believe this and just attacks Wukong. Baji sits on the sideline and watches for a while. He notices that Red Boy isn't actually trying to attack and is just parrying Wukong's blows. And he thinks Wukong has the upper hand. And he doesn't want the monkey to get all the glory, so he rushes in and tries to hit Red Boy with his rake. But Red Boy dodges away and he flees back to the cart formation his minions set up. And when the pilgrims approach him, he punches himself in the face twice. Baji thinks that he's trying to like exaggerate his own injuries so he can like run off and sue the two of them. But what he actually does is he recites a spell and spits flames from his mouth and smoke from his nostrils.
I can see why they were friends.
Baji is worried about being cooked and he legs it. And Wukong knows fire repellent magic though. And he jumps into the fire to try and find Red Boy, but he can't see through all the fire and the smoke, and he turns to flee as well. Wukong gives out to Baji for leaving him behind, and he tells him to man up.
Or pig up.
Pig up. Monkey up.
Yep.
Baji blames Wukong for thinking Red Boy would give a shit about Wukong's claims about his dad. And they spend a little while discussing how powerful Red Boy is compared to Wukong, while Xiao Wujing sits off to the side and laughs at them.
I'm really here for Xiao Wujing.
Yeah, he's the best. He's consistently the best.
Absolutely.
He tells them if they're having trouble dealing with fire, they should take advantage of mutual production and mutual conquest, which in a kind of flippant way of putting it, is basically elemental rock, paper, scissors between the five elements. Water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. I brought this up before back in like chapter 2, I think, to make a very bad joke, but now they're going to try and use it to their advantage. There is like a, you know, a historical philosophical basis in and tradition around these elements, but it you know, it boils down to, in the end, they're going to need some magic water to deal with the magic fire.
Okay, makes sense.
So Wukong flies off to his old friend who has always helped him in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Ao Guang, Dragon King of the Eastern Ocean.
Have we met this guy before?
Ao Guang is the guy that Wukong stole the iron rod off back in like chapter 3.
Always helped him before?
Yeah. I think this is the third time he's shown up, possibly fourth. So Wukong explains to Ao Guang the situation with Red Boy, the magic fire, and he asks for Ao Guang to summon rain to help him. But Ao Guang explains that that's not how it's done. You know, there's procedures in place. He can't just summon any rain he wants. He's in charge of dispensing it, but that doesn't mean he's the one who orders it.
This is a very tech support answer.
So first, the Jade Emperor makes a rain decree specifying the where, when, and what amount of rain will fall. Then three officials draft the document, which is dispatched by the North Star. Only when the Dragon King gets that order can he assemble the Thunder God, Lightning Mother, Wind Uncle, and Cloud Boy to do the work.
I don't know why Wind Uncle is just so fun.
Wukong says, okay, I just need rainwater. I don't need any of the other things. But Ao Guang says he still can't help him by himself. But if he gets his brothers, Ao Quinn, Ao Ron, and Ao Shun to help him, they should be able to do it. And he has a magic iron drum and golden bell rang to summon them. And I guess, I don't know, with all four of them, maybe they have a bit of a veto that they can get away with doing all of it. Or maybe he just thinks if all four of them are involved, he can't get blamed for doing it unauthorized. I'm not entirely clear.
Yeah.
Why they don't need an order from the Jade Emperor if he gets all of them, but...
I don't know, maybe there's a pilgrim dispensation.
But they call up their troops and we get a poem listing all the different ranks. So there's a shark in charge. There's a big mouthed Shad leading the vanguard. There's a carp marshal, a Breen viceroy, a mackerel grand marshal, a cutlerfish commander, some red-eyed mermaids dancing, very important to the operation, I'm sure.
Your leaders.
Some black armored generals, a sturgeon sergeant, sea turtle lord chancellor, turtle's counselor, iguana minister, sand turtle commander, crab warriors, shrimp amazons, sheetfish vice director, and dragon soldiers.
This is perfect. I don't know why cuttlefish commander just made me laugh.
I love cuttlefish. Cuttlefish are great.
Yeah, no, I'm loving the ranks here.
It's not cuttlefish though, actually. It's culterfish. C-U-L-T-E-R.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
I'm just thinking this is culture and historical materials. Culterfish, this is very well researched.
Cutler is a genus of fish consisting of four species found in fresh water of Eastern Asia. The name is derived from the Latin culter, meaning knife. The Wikipedia article is very small. Anyway, I was reading a novel.
Yes, you were.
I think cuttlefish commanders would be better, though.
It just rolls off the tongue.
With all this backup.
Cuttlefish commander, sturgeon sergeant, cuttlefish commander, sturgeon sergeant. this is a fun stim for me.
With all this backup, Wukong heads back and challenges Red Boy again. It goes similarly, with Red Boy holding out for a while before retreating, punching himself in the face, and summoning a blaze of fire.
I whoever bestowed this magic upon him, I love it. Such a troll.
You have to punch yourself in the face to breathe fire. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yep.
Wukong calls the Dragon Kings to help, and they pour down a torrent of rain. It pours down from the sky like buckets being tipped out, and it does absolutely sweet fuck all. Actually, that's not true. It makes things worse.
Oh yay! This is petrol rain.
The fire just burns harder. I guess it's like throwing water on an oil fire. Wukong decides fuck it and just tries to use his fire repellent magic to brave the flames again. But when Red Boy sees him coming, he blows smoke directly at Wukong's face. And Wukong is flame retardant from the magic, but after having his eyes stung by the smoke in Laozi's brazier for 49 days back when he was captured in heaven, he cannot stand smoke at all. And his eyes start watering and he retreats.
I mean, understandable.
Yeah, the smoke... One of the things from the brazier is that the smoke stung his eyes so badly, they turned them permanently red.
Yeah.
Wukong dives straight into a stream to cool off, but the shock of going straight from burning hot to cold water knocks him unconscious. The Dragon Kings call out for the Marshal of Heavenly Reeds and the curtain-raising captain to come find their brother. He's after disappearing into the water. They dig through the water and mud, and eventually Wu Jing spots Wukong in the water and dives in, fully clothed, to drag him out.
Yeah, that's why we like him.
Baji thinks Wukong is just playing dead to scare them, but Wu Jing is worried. His body has actually turned cold. But Baji has a method of reviving him. They straighten him out, cross his legs, and raise his back into a sitting posture. And then Baji covers Wukong's 7 apertures and applies a special massage method to help get Wukong's breath going again.
Wait a minute, isn't Wukong like quadruple immortal at this point?
Yes. I mean, he's not dead, he's got knocked out. I guess he stopped, I don't know, if he stops breathing, maybe he can survive not breathing for a while? I don't know. He doesn't die anyway. He starts to wake up and he starts muttering, "Oh, master," and wakes up.
We shall leave that where it is.
Baji asks him if Wukong is going to thank him for saving him. And Wukong completely ignores him, calls out to the Ao brothers, says he's sorry for dragging them all the way out here for nothing, and says they can go home. So Wu Jing wants to ask for more help, and Wukong thinks the only person who can help at this point is just go straight to Guanyin, but he's too sore to cloud somersault after all that, and Baji offers to go instead. And Wukong gives him instructions. He says, be respectful, bow your head with reverence, tell her what's happened, and tell her the name of the monster we're dealing with.
Sorry, we're sending Baji.
Yes.
Baji is who we're sending.
Yeah, he's second. He's like second in rank behind Wukong. So he gets to go next.
Really?
Yeah. It goes Tripitaka, then Wukong, then Baji, then Wu Jing.
That seems unwise.
He joined the pilgrimage before Wu Jing, and he's stronger, so he gets second rank.
It's very much it was written by a civil servant. We can
It's not a meritocracy.
No.
Or yeah, well, I guess it kind of is in the way that it's, you know, it's a meritocracy in terms of like fighting ability. Baji is stronger than Fu Jing.
I just feel there are other factors that really should have been considered in that decision.
Yeah, true. But Red Boy is still watching them, and he sees Baji flies off to the south, and he figures he must be going to ask the Bodhisattva Guanyin for help. He tells his minions to set up a trap with his magic leather bag, and he goes off himself flying south, and he takes a shortcut to get ahead of Baji, transforms himself into Guanyin, and waits for him. And when Baji on the way runs into the fake Guanyin, he tells her about the monster and what's happened. And Red Boy, disguised as Guanyin, is like, oh, that's odd. Red Boy is grand. He normally doesn't kill people. You must have offended him. It's all your fault, clearly.
Victim blaming. Come on.
I mean, it's literally the monster that's doing it.
I know, but still.
And she says that she'll lead him back to Red Boy's cave and talk to the monster on their behalf. And so they fly back. Go, and as soon as they're inside the cave, Red Boy's minions grab Baji and stuff him into the leather bag and tie the mouth shut. Baji screams his head off from inside the bag, but he can't escape.
It's just impossible to feel bad for him. I'm sorry.
I don't expect you to. Meanwhile, Wukong sneezes as a gust of a putrid evil wind passes over, and he takes this as a bad omen and realizes something bad must have happened. And he wants to go investigate, but Wu Jing thinks he's still too hurt. Wukong ignores this, and he barges back up to the entrance of the fiery cloud cave.
This is more in character. I was wondering why the retreat did not seem very Wukong.
He is fucked up a bit, but he's not going to, you know, let any kind of common sense stop him. Red Boy gives the order for him to be seized. Wukong does at this point cop on that he is still too injured to actually fight. So he dives into the water and shapeshifts into a cloth wrapper decorated with gold. And a minion grabs it, thinking Wukong dropped it as he fled, and brings it to present it to Red Boy. And Red Boy thinks it might be worth something, and he tells his minions to just, you know, bring it in and have it cleaned. So they leave it inside to get dealt with later. And as soon as Wukong has the opportunity, he transforms into a fly and leaves one of his hairs behind as the fake cloth wrap. And as a fly, he explores the cave a bit and he hears Baji moaning, finds the leather bag he's tied up in, and he hears Baji complaining about being tricked by a fake Guanyin, and he laughs, and Wukong laughs at him. Wukong is wondering what he's going to do next when he hears Red Boy calling to his six commanders. Their names are Cloud and Fog, Fog and Cloud, Quick as Fire, Swift as Wind, Hurly Burly, and Burly Hurly.
Hurly Burly.
And Burly Hurly.
Okay. Are these chosen names?
I've no idea how the monsters get their names.
I will never make fun of my friend Teapot ever again.
Oh, Teapot's a lovely nickname. I have a friend who we call Skip because back in fucking secondary school, he broke his leg and he was on crutches. And we called him Skip because we were horrible people. And it has stuck to this day.
It isn't too bad, though.
Anyway, Red Boy orders his commanders to deliver a message to the venerable Great King to invite him over to eat the Tong Monk. If you want to find out who the venerable Great King is, you'll have to listen to the next chapter.
Okay, that was different.
In that Wukong got his ass kicked?
Yeah, and I don't know, the smoke thing feels very, for lack of a better term, true to life.
As in, it's just like a reasonable thing to like put someone out of commission compared to all the like crazy magic combat.
Yeah, plus I you know, having smoke blown in your eyes in the what do you call that thing?
Fuck off.
What? is it something beginning with B? Yeah, sorry. yeah, that's gonna fuck you up a little bit.
Yeah, and I get it's like the one thing that's kind of left him with a permanent injury almost from all the ridiculous shit he's done and been through.
Yeah, because a weak spot, I guess, and it left, well, it left a little literal mark. His eyes are now permanently red.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, but can't wait to see what happens next.
We're so good at signing off. Subscribe to the Patreon. Thanks, bye.